Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
All right, everyone, we're back. Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri. It's presented by PPV.com. 10:25 is quickly approaching. Sebastian Fundora versus Keith Thurman.
Keith Thurman, yes.
Not Tim Tszyu.
Long on the mend.
But Keith Thurman is back, and he's fighting on PPV.com on 10:25. I will be out in Las Vegas bringing you all that great content streaming on PPV.com all week long. No subscriptions. Just pop your email in. Go fight to fight. If you are going to watch the fight, we ask that you do it with PPV.com. It's our proud presenting sponsor. Stream it to your tablet, your phone. Tablet? People don't even have tablets anymore. Your iPad.
Is tablet a thing?
Your iPhone. Your iPad. Your Tamagotchi, anywhere.
Old man Dan.
PPV.com. PPV, your VCR. PPV's got you covered. This is one of the worst reads in the history of PPV.com, but we're getting the point across. Everyone knows by now, if you're a continuous listener of Inside Boxing Live, you know that PPV are our friends. If you're
and
new
you also
to
know
the
that
show,
Dan's not good at these. So
usually I'm on them.
And
on
we
the
still
money.
Get we still get sponsors, thank God.
Usually I'm on the money with these. Another thing, too, is like people freak out when I'm on the right side of the screen and you're on the left. It gives people anxiety. I flip-flopped it. It's something that you have to do.
I have no idea what that even...
No.
Okay.
They want me on the left. They want you on the right. Like, I guess that's just like makes them feel happy.
It's a safe space.
Exactly. 10:25. We got a big fight out in Vegas. So Shockey Foster versus Stephen Fulton is going to be a banger on that card as well. So we're in October. The end of October is banging. Beginning's a little light, but we'll be out in Vegas and join us, PPV.com. All right, we got a fun episode planned for you guys today. We'll get into some fight news with Manny Pacquiao and Rolly. Some other fights they're getting made in middleweight division that could entice Terrence Crawford to come out. But we first got to get to some other stuff, too. Like, Chris, you're on a spiritual retreat. If you followed Chris's Instagram, this guy was up in Muhammad Ali land. I was jealous, man. It looked so serene. Muhammad Ali, fighter's heaven. Tell us about it, man. That looked like a pilgrimage.
I mean, you were jealous. My nephew was jealous. My family was jealous. Everyone should be jealous because
Bob Canobio jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're a boxing fan, you should be jealous of what I did this weekend. I had a great time going to quote unquote fighter's heaven. And I was speaking to the groundskeeper there today. And he was even saying, he's like, you know, like fighter's heaven is not associated with Muhammad Ali, which is crazy because that is the name that he gave to his training camp that he established in 1972 and owned and ran until 1997. So 20, how many years is that? 72 to 70, 25 years worth of time that he actually was in ownership of that land. And it's like 6 acres. And it's everything that a fighter could dream of for having for a training camp. He had a fully furnished gym. He had his own quarters, which was literally just him in a fireplace. I mean, Ali is such an interesting character. This guy had millions of dollars. He was able to buy land in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania, 6 acres worth, and build state-of-the-art facilities. And he stayed in a room that had a fireplace and an oven. Like it had like a stove, like a heating stove. Because up there it gets really cold. It was actually pretty cold even this
Yeah, weekend. I saw you were in like a Canadian tuxedo you were wearing.
Yeah, I had to. It's all I got here. I came to Jersey in
Wait,
July.
Wait, that wasn't a choice? That was more of a necessity?
No, that was like, it's cold here. I need to layer up.
That's kind of cool. That kind of fit the motif.
It did. I mean, back then, I remember that George Foreman used to always wear like double denim. Yeah,
I was like, damn, Chris is really embracing this.
I was, and I did. But yeah, no, up there it was pretty cold already. And I've been in New Jersey since July, so I don't have a lot of clothing with me. So I was just layering my stuff up. Anyway, so we're up there, and I mean, God damn, it was just so cool. And listen, anyone who's anywhere near the area, and even if you're not, and you're a big Ali fan or a boxing fan or a sports fan, you should definitely come out and check it out, because the energy that's there is crazy. So we had this fully furnished training camp there. The gym, boxing area was set. And then he had his own quarters. Then he had quarters for the sparring partners. He had a house for his family to stay in that was separate from his own, because it is training camp. You don't want to be staying around your wife and your kids. You want to keep it close, but not too close. He had a mosque on the premises that he could pray to every day. There was a rec room. There was a couple dog houses because he had a German Shepherd named Joe Frazier, by the way. He had a dog named Joe Frazier.
It's still in good shape, huh? Like it's refurbished.
Well, it's been refurnished.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's been refurnished and refurbished, I should say. And it's turned into a museum, essentially. And it has all of the memorabilia of Muhammad Ali and his illustrious career and life. But I mean, the groundskeeper is amazing. It's super awesome to just go and chill and hang out. It's so quiet still, even to this day. And it was a great time. And I'm gonna quote Ali, because listen, we all know about Ali and his rhymes, right? Like in this day, we would think of them as raps, but like he was literally a poet, and there was poems that he wrote that were all over the campus. That's his own poems, and they were long. There was multiple of them. It was great, but it's one of my favorites. He said, "I had done something new." This is leading up to the George Foreman fight. And he goes, you know, he's in an interview and he's sitting there with his legs crossed. He's dressed all nice. He's got his nice shoes on, his slacks on, and he's being interviewed. And he's like, you know, "I did something different this camp. I done wrestled with an alligator. I done tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning, throwing thunder in jail. Only last week, I murdered a rock. I injured a stone, hospitalized a brick. I'm so mean, I make medicine sick." Man, when he told this poem, when he said this poem, I'm watching him with one of the videos. I'm giddy. I'm giggling. I'm like, I got goosebumps all over me. I'm like, this guy is something different, something special. Yeah. I mean, he did that live on television, just like that. And he kept getting cut off, and he was like, nope, I'm getting this done. I'm getting this done. I'm going through it. Man, something's not my lead, man. As special as we all know him to be, he's next level. There's never been an athlete like him ever since, and there never will be. He's one of one.
One of one, for sure. Definitely most influential in an era where there wasn't a lot of media, and there wasn't a lot of networks, and there wasn't a lot of way to get him, but he got through to everybody, which is super impressive. And there's so many books on him, and there's so many documentaries to the point. It's like, oh my God, it's like Ali fatigue. I feel like I know everything about him. We all know everything about him. But this is something way different. Like going up there, like if you're an Ali fan, like my dad is obviously all of our dads and our grandparents. Like my dad created CompuBox because of Ali. Like Ali was his inspiration. And I feel like I need to go with him up there. And because this is different than like, this is like living it. Like the way you were explaining it, it felt like, you know, that like the ghosts were there, and it's just, I can't believe it's still there, number one, because I feel like in this country, you know, I'm surprised it's not like a bank or something, or like taken down. Like the fact that it's preserved is really freaking cool. It just looks awesome. That's a really awesome weekend, and I suggest, so I'm sure you would suggest to any of our listeners out there to take the ride. How far is it like from like New York City? What was the travel?
2.5 hours from New York City.
That's not bad.
No. It would be 3 hours from my home in Huntington, 2.5 from New York City, to about 2 and change from Jersey City, where I'm coming from today. But no, it was not. It was a very easy drive. It's mostly highway. Plenty of things to do. The Yuengling Brewery, which is the oldest American brewery on Long Island, in America, was there. We stopped over there. There's a couple other breweries around. There's some caverns. There's hiking. I went on a 9-mile hike in the Appalachian on the way too. So plenty to do in the area. So
I will not be doing that part of it.
You should. It's good for you, man. It's good for your health, your legs.
Speaking of my health and my legs, like Chris, you did something like very pure this weekend. Like you were in boxing royalty, throwing it back to an era where we didn't have Twitter, we didn't have social media. Like, you know, Ali would have thrived, or also feel like he would have been hated in the Twitter era. while you were out doing like a pure activity, boots on the ground, with one with nature in boxing history, I'm in the trenches here, battling a world champion boxer who for some reason wants my head on a spit. Shakur Stevenson over the weekend challenged me to a sparring session. What world are we living in where this is a thing?
I think we do it. I got you a bar headgear. As long as you guys wear, he can wear 18-ounce gloves. I think we go. We do it. I'll corner you. It's fine.
Well, the way this all came down, because I'm still debating whether we're going to do it. I'm leaning towards not doing it because I've never freaking boxed before. I won't hide that, the fact. I've never boxed. I've never laced them up. You know, we're talking about a pound-for-pound great in Shakur Stevenson, who we've, first of all, had on this show. We don't have many guests. We have had three guests on this show in the Algeri Canobio era, and Shakur is one of them. We do not like having guests on our show, but we think so highly of this guy, we had him on our show. That's the preface to this. This all stemmed from me putting him in a discussion with the Four Kings on last week's episode, and then you kind of shitting on the Four Kings. So he's like, well, first of all, if I was never involved in the Four Kings, but now you guys are lumping me in, and then you're going to go off about the fact that I've never fought anybody of those guys, which I kind of understand where he's coming from, but it wasn't the full clip because I sent him another clip like 2 seconds after that where I was like, I think he could beat all these guys. He's moving different than the rest of them for the last couple of years. He wants the smoke. He could beat a tank. He could beat a Teofimo, but he doesn't want to hear that. When I sent it that to him, he goes, you ain't never gave me props. Boy. He thinks I'm the ops. I get it. I understand how you boxers are. You need a mental edge. You need any edge. Shakur needs an edge. And for some reason, I'm supplying him the inspiration that he needs. I don't understand why. Because I've never said a bad thing about him, malicious thing about this guy. I feel like we give credit when credit's deserved. And we critique you as a fighter when it's also deserved. Did he fire off 500, 600 tweets after that one fight? Yes, he did. And I thought that was lame. I mean, we jokingly made fun of him about it. When he beat Zepeda, were we excited? Heck yeah, we were. Am I constantly saying this guy can beat legitimately anyone around his weight class? Yes. Not good enough for Shakur. Guy decides to challenge me to a sparring session and continues to DM me all weekend long? Like, bro, what are we doing?
So, okay. So you look at this as like you might be fuel for his fire in order to – I look at it differently. I look at it like this guy doesn't fight often enough. So he's got to fight whoever's out there. You're an op because he can't get the fights that he wants. So he's got to fight you. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I mean, I've had some sparring sessions with a couple of media members, but like they were very tongue-in-cheek.
Jake Storielli from John Boy Media?
Yeah. Tongue-in-cheek, lots of fun beforehand. Like, oh, we're not hurting. Nobody's getting hurt. Like, or not. Like, there was no bad blood. I don't give a shit about any media member. I never have. Even the guys I don't like. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to do anything, to say anything, whatever. But yeah, Shakur's a different guy. He's in a different world. We are in a Twitter fingers world. And, you know, the guy doesn't get to fight that often. So you might not necessarily be motivation or whatever you might be, but, you know, you said you're the ops, but you're just something. You're a target at this point, which is crazy because literally on this show, we have been very praiseworthy or praising of Shakur and his skill set. And I think most fighters are, but hey, listen, he's coming after me as well. So, but
yeah, he went after you, like both of us. He just goes after everyone. I know that he goes after
everyone. I've never seen anyone go after us for listening to the entire show. It's only a clip. Anyone who ever comes after me, I'm just like, bro, just go listen to the show. Go watch the show. I know you didn't watch the show. If you're coming at me because of a clip, it's because you didn't listen to the fucking show. Listen to the show. You'll get where I'm coming from. Nothing is out of context. but whatever.
I don't expect him to listen to the full show. I get that. Like, clips is not,
I do. Go listen to fucking show. You want to talk shit? Go listen to show.
Okay, yeah, maybe he did over the weekend and realized, but he was still DMing over the weekend. I have not answered because I don't know exactly what I want to do here. I'm leaning towards not doing it, and my reasons are because this isn't coming from a fun place. This isn't like, hey, come spar with a boxer. I was supposed to go to Canelo's camp before one of his fights, and we had something cool planned. That didn't work out. This is coming from a place of hate. Like, he wants to physically hurt me, harm me. Listen, this face, this is my money maker. This is how I make money. You guys make money with your hands. Would I ever go to your gym and step on your hands? No. You punch me in the face, Shakur, which I know you want to do because for some reason you hate me. I can't go 10-25 to Vegas and promote Fundora versus Keith Thurman because you are going to crack me in the face. And I'm not denying that you are not going to rough me up. You're going to rough me up in there. Do I think it's lame that you immediately went to let's spar? Yeah, I do think it's kind of lame. But, like, I'm thinking about if I want to do this. Do I need to lace them up and hit up the gym where you're at and figure out some things and then step in there so I can kind of defend myself, defend the honor of this show?
Couple things. Dan, if you're making money off of your face, you must be struggling, bro. I'm saying what everybody else is thinking.
Bro. This is a great face.
Come on, dude.
Say anything you want about my – I'm short. Yes, I got a great face, Dan.
Great face for radio, this guy. Anyway, back to this sparring session. Again, the fact that he has the time to call this out and do this – listen, okay. So I say you do it because I don't think he's going to try and hurt you. Because that would be so goddamn lame if he.
Do you remember Deontay Wilder, Charlie Z?
Yeah, but that guy was a dickhead and he deserved it. That guy was really pushing the limit. You're not that guy.
He went too far.
No, went way too far. And he deserved everything that he got, and I think he deserved a lot more.
Didn't Wilder smash him up, but the glove was on backwards?
Whatever. I mean, if Deontay would have knocked his head sideways, it would have been okay. That guy deserved it. You're not that kind of guy, and it's not that way. You're not coming after this guy's family. You're not talking shit about him as a person.
Never.
You're not even talking shit at all. So if you were to go out there and he tried to beat you up, like legitimately beat you up, that would be lame as fuck. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think he's going to he'll rough you up a little bit, and that's fine. And
I'm cool with that.
There's nothing I can do to help you in terms of getting you ready.
You can't even come because you're on a movie set. You can't come.
I might come. I might be able to come. I might come on a weekend and just corner you for a bit and just
let that changes things.
Yeah, I might. I'll throw in the towel.
I need a few people. I need
make sure that
people.
You're not going to get too damaged. But I don't.
I got a few friends from MVP that said they would come. I got a corner. I got a team. Like, I'm not showing up there. I'm not rolling up alone.
No. I mean, you're not going to need like a crew or anything. I don't think it's going to be. Man, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he wants to fuck you up. Maybe.
I think he does.
Maybe
bro.
Your face pisses him off because I get it. Some people's faces just piss certain people off. I know I look at their face. I'm like, you know what? I just want to smash that guy's face. Maybe you got that face.
Yeah, he definitely wants to crack me a few times. Like, because we've had a few run-ins and it's always the same thing. It's always like, bro, you misunderstood the situation. Like the Teofimo, I said, I don't like this fight versus him versus Teofimo. I just don't think it's going to be a banger. Bro, you don't like boxing. Or like we've had this dance numerous times, which of course I've had this dance with numerous fighters. Like, the fighters are the most sensitive people in the entire world. It's a one-man band. You don't. You take all the criticism, or you should. Or, you know, when you win, you win by yourself. When you lose by yourself. I get all that. But he takes it to a whole nother level, man. Like, this dude is sending me DMs. Like, he's Shakur Twitterson. That's what he is.
It's pretty funny.
He's living up to the name. He's really living up to the name. And we'll see. Like, maybe I haven't decided yet. We'll see. I'm leaning towards no, but I'm also traveling a lot in the next couple of weeks. Like, I'm legitimately not going to be around. Like, he wants me to come to Houston. Like, I thought, like, if you were still living in the Jersey area, with you being in the Jersey area, you know, some neutral ground. You know, the idea of stepping into the ring with like a championship fighter is like a once in a lifetime type of thing. That's
pretty
so
cool.
Cool.
It's pretty cool, Dan. Awesome. Pretty cool, Dan. Pretty cool.
I'm not going to say some of the jokes that have been thrown around by our faithful listeners about Shakur, but I'm not going to say that. You guys can go see those on Instagram and Twitter yourselves. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
You mentioned I'm on the movie set with these actors and whatnot. So like on the third week, we decided. Well. Listen, everyone who starts to learn how to box thinks they're pretty good by week three, especially if you're training 5 days a week with a world champion. Like, these guys started getting, you know, they started to feel pretty good about themselves. And you know what? Week three, I'm putting on my cup and I got my mouthpiece. And I'm like,
oh shit.
Hey, coach, what are we doing? I'm like, we're sparring today. Well, and I'm like, oh, who are we sparring with? And I go, sparring with me. like, all of us? I go, every single one of you. They're like, really? All of us? I'm like, I'm going to run the room twice. One after the other. The whole room. Did 13 rounds that day. Swallowed everybody. But listen, I didn't beat anybody up. I didn't hurt anybody. I didn't bust any noses. But there's ways that a world-class fighter can make a regular person, regular athlete, feel lesser than, put it that way, without having to beat them up. He can go out there, embarrass the shit out of you, and hit you with a little bit here, hit you with a little bit there. Listen, he's going to hit you, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not against it.
We'll see, Shakur.
I know we need a poll. We need a Twitter poll. Should Dan?
Are you kidding? There's a single person out there that doesn't want to see me either get punched or like hold my own in there.
Hold your own? Hold your own with what?
Not hold my own. Like stand up. Listen, I'm not a boxer. I've never thrown a punch. It's wild. I'm a blitz ball. I'll strike his ass out wiffle ball all day long. Come into my world, Shakur.
You guys should sign a contract. Like, well, if we're gonna box, you gotta play. What do you play?
Blitz ball.
Blitz.
Yeah.
Blitz ball.
Did a few noted boxing lawyers reach out to me over the weekend? Yes.
Wow. Wow. It's getting serious.
A lot of people.
See, I'm not on Twitter, I don't know how serious this stuff is. I thought this was funny. Too. Maybe
this
it's not.
Made
Maybe
it, waves. It made
I,
waves.
I was busy in Ali country. We don't have service up there. I was focused on
difference between me and you, bro. You're out there having the time of your life with Ali. I'm in the trenches.
I'm living life. I'm in the trenches,
fielding offers from championship fighters that want to take my head off. I just don't think it's coming from a place of like fun. I think it's coming from a place of hate. I think he like does not like me. That's it's funny because we are going to work together soon. Like if he fights Teofimo and it's on PPV.com, like I'm fine with that. And I think he's cool with that. Like I've seen him go back and forth with Coppinger. I loved when he embarrassed Coppinger. Like I couldn't be happier when he did that. So like we have a common enemy and a common foe. So like, I don't know. We'll see. The jury, it's still open. I'm leaning towards no. Chris is going to talk me into it. Maybe I'll come down to the set and you can fucking teach me like a 1-2. Jeez.
No. No, it's not going to help you. Because you're not going to hit him. World-class fighters can't hit him. How the hell am I going to teach you how to hit him?
Yeah, he's literally one of the hardest
boxers. World champions can't hit him. I'm not going to teach you how to hit him in 3 hours. I'm going to teach you how to not die.
Like Friday.
I won't be able to do that either. But
the dad and Friday, like, use your hands, kid.
Are you a southpaw?
Yeah, I am.
Shit.
I am.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
I'm a lefty.
Yep.
All right, back to reality.
back to the boxing world, things that matter.
You know what is reality? Sadly, Manny Pacquiao fighting again in 2026. It's not looking surprising. Like Manny Pacquiao is going to be fighting Rolly Romero January 2026. Pac-Man's coming off of the Barrios draw. Rolly defeated Ryan Garcia in Times Square. I'll ask you this, Chris. Can Manny Pacquiao defeat Rolly Romero to capture a world title at 147?
1,000%. Yes, he can. I don't know if he will. It's similar to the Barrios fight where it's just like, can he win the fight? I didn't think he could, but he actually showed himself to be better than expected. And also Matt Barrios showed himself to be way worse than I would expect. But you could say the same thing about Rolly. Against Ryan, he looked so much better than you could ever expect. And against Isak Cruz, he looks so bad, so much worse than you could expect. So he's so hot and cold. A cold version of Rolly Romero loses to Manny Pacquiao. A cold version of Rolly Romero gets knocked out by Manny Pacquiao, which is insane to say because Manny hasn't scored a knockout in like a decade. But a good Rolly Romero shows up on the day, handily beats an aging Manny Pacquiao. So this truly is a pick'em fight. And it's only a pick'em fight because these guys are both so hot and cold. And hot and cold is really Rolly. Manny's not hot and cold. He's just old. So
hot and cold versus old. Do you think that would
hot
be
hot and cold
poster?
Versus old? That's the poster. That's our poster. Hot and cold versus old. Rolly Romero versus Manny Pacquiao. But also, dude, when the Barrios fight ended, you and I were talking about it. Like, oh, this is obviously the next fight. Obviously the next fight. Why would it not be Rolly's? He's a beatable welterweight champion.
Yeah, like he's one of the other champs. Once they elevated the Rolly Ryan fight to a full WBA title, the WBA is
absurd.
Hey,
totally
we're going to do that. And then like Ryan was supposed to win. He gets knocked down and he loses. Rolly becomes champion. That's when I was like, damn, Pacquiao Rolly is like a fun fight. Rolly has literally fought everyone. His resume is absurd. It has Tank Davis and Manny Pacquiao potentially on it, along with Ryan Garcia, Ismael Barroso, and Isak Cruz. The dude is, you can't, he's become a household name in the boxing world. So this fight will do well. Pacquiao will obviously carry it. Pacquiao will carry it. This is another
chance
for him.
Pacquiao will carry it, but Rolly will sell it. He's really good at selling.
He's different now, man. Like he the fight, but they wanted to have this fight in December, but he's on a spiritual journey right now. Props to him. Got very religious. Props to him.
Is it ayahuasca or is it Catholic? Is it Christian? What are we talking about?
I don't know if he's on the psychedelics, which would be hilarious to hang out with Rolly Romero on psychedelics. But like the days of Rolly Tank, that Rolly are gone. Like he'll still give you a great line. He'll still say something wacky. He was crazy that for Tank, but he's become a way better fighter now. Yeah, the Ryan fight was pretty dull, and Ryan lost that fight.
It wasn't dull. Ryan didn't show up,
bro.
Ryan doesn't throw punches anyway. But Ryan doesn't throw punches.
Also injured.
Bunny ears injured.
Right.
He doesn't throw a lot of punches anyway. And Rolly fought a very disciplined fight. And I thought he boxed a smart fight, especially against a dangerous puncher like Ryan, who was completely switched off from beginning to end. No one's writing home about that fight for either one of their performances, but. Listen, Rolly showed me something I'd never seen from him. He fought a very disciplined fight. So if he can do that, he can. Listen, the guy is a good. He was a big amateur. Like he had a lot of fights. Like he's not like just this rock'em sock'em robot who came out of nowhere. He's not Ricardo Mayorga. Like he actually has skills. He just chooses to be a banger and throw bombs. Like he can box. He does have some skill set. He does have some technique, and he showed that. And he showed it in the past, but he showed it in the Ryan Garcia fight specifically when he needed to be, and he showed discipline. Which I think shows his level. But Manny Pacquiao's different, man. We saw that, you know, a couple months ago when he fought Mario Barros, where he's 47 years old and looks old as hell, but still can fucking win a round. He knows how to steal a round. He can fight for
won like 5 or 6 rounds.
Yeah, he can fight for 90 seconds of a round and still make you think that he won the round. So
here's the thing, like in terms of the X's and O's, going back to that, like Barros 6 foot. He's big. He didn't really use his height in this fight. He didn't really use his jab. He'll drive you crazy with half fights. He'll drive you absolutely insane. That's why they picked him. Rolly's 5'8". You know, Manny's 5'6½", 5'7". I mean, that goes towards Pacquiao in terms of this being somewhat of an easier fight. But the thing with Rolly is he doesn't exactly pull the trigger either. But when he does pull the trigger, I feel like he has a lot more power than Barrios.
Yes.
Barrios did come on late, and he started to put his punches together late. Like, who knows? Will Rolly respect Pacquiao as much as Barrios did? I think it's about the same type of fight, to be honest. I give Pacquiao the same type of chance against Romero than I do against Barrios.
That's a fair way to put it. Very different fighters. They're very different matchup, very different style, very different timing as well. If Manny was coming off of the layoff that he was coming off of when he fought Barrios, I wouldn't give him as much of a shot against Rolly. I think Rolly's actually more dangerous than Barrios in hindsight, because I thought Barrios was dangerous at the time. He showed himself to not be. You know who was right about Barrios? My boy, Paulie Malignaggi. Well, he said that I thought he was very harsh on Barrios, saying that he sucked. But the performance he gave against Pacquiao, against a guy who fought probably 4.5 rounds of that entire fight in total, was embarrassing. Like, you had a guy in front of you that you could have dominated, could have won, could have put them on your ledger, and you allowed a draw. It was a very underwhelming, to be nice, performance on Barrios.
I said that before. I said, like, you know, but I think with Barrios, he doesn't have that third gear. He has first and second, and sometimes second is even questionable. And he looks the part. Like, man, the guy looks like a 6 foot welterweight, good looking guy, fit, looks the part, gets in the ring. You're like, all right,
he's got a bunch of highlights. He's got a bunch of highlights, him knocking people out, but they were at 130 pounds.
But he has so many fights where he's so disappointing. Like that fight on the Spence
with Ramos.
Porter card in where he, I forgot who it was against.
Abel Ramos.
He looked horrible. Not Ramos. That was on the Tyson one where many years ago, 2019.
Oh, are you talking about Maidana? Fabian Maidana?
No, I'm gonna pull it up right now. No, it was in the fight. It was on the Spence versus Sean Porter undercard. And they were propping up Barrios to be the next thing. He had a huge crowd there with him, and he shit the bed. But he got Akhmadov.
Oh, that's when he won the title at 140, yeah.
Sorry for that. Akhmadov. I was ringside for that. It was a long time ago. That's why I forgot. But like, even that night, I was like, so this is the guy like PBC who has so much like money invested in. And like, I was like, this guy, like, I didn't see a second gear. And like, we saw that in some of his other fights, obviously getting pushed around by Gervonta Davis. Barrios is not that guy. I think Romero is definitely has way more like momentum right now. Yeah.
And but does he hasn't fought in so long. He hasn't fought since.
This guy's never fight.
By the time they fight, it's going to be 9 months. It's going to be 9 months.
Well, she's like an active fighter today. Teofimo, one fight this year.
That's her. I mean, Teofimo is different because he's so goddamn talented. He's his best when he is active, but whatever. Like, none of these guys are active. Devin Haney's not active. Teofimo's not active. Ryan Garcia's not active.
You know what's crazy? Is if Pacquiao gets into the ring in January, he fought in what? July? August, September, October, November, December, January. 6 months. That's two fights in 6 months for Pacquiao and one fight for Rolly in 9 months. So Pacquiao would be more active than Rolly Romero.
At 47 years old. It's crazy.
Well, that's another thing too. Pacquiao is going to have camps, back-to-back camps. Like, he looked damn good coming off the couch and like way better than I even ever expected. Like, I thought I picked Pacquiao to get stopped in the second half of the fight. And a lot of people did around Vegas. And he proved everyone wrong. And yeah, it'll be a fun fight. It'll be a fun promotion. You know, are some people upset that Pacquiao gets another title shot and now we're going to a different organization? I think that just shows you everything you know about these organizations. Went from the WBC. Now he gets a title shot against the WBA versus a guy in Rolly that in Ryan should never have been fighting for a WBA title. How about Ryan Garcia? Ryan Garcia fumbled two massive fights. He was supposed to fight Pacquiao, and he was supposed to fight Rolly, and he loses to Haney. So Ryan Garcia loses to – go ahead.
Say that again. Say that. Take me back.
Ryan Garcia fumbling, I'm trying to talk about right now.
He's supposed to fight Manny Pacquiao.
Right. He loses to Rolly, Ryan Garcia.
Right.
From the top. Ryan Garcia loses to Rolly Romero. The Haney rematch blows up in his face.
Okay.
If Ryan would have beat Rolly, he would have been the full WBA champion. He would have had a choice between a Haney rematch, which they obviously would have went with, or even a Pacquiao title fight, which he's dreamed about, Ryan Garcia, and talked about a few years ago. All-time fumbling Ryan Garcia. I know he has a lot of money, so it's not like, oh, he fumbled the bag. But, like, this is
He fumbled a chance for being a world champion. The guy's still not a world champion. People forget that. Ryan Garcia is not a world champion. He's never won a world title. The fact that Rolly Romero's a world champion is mind-boggling to me.
Isn't he like three-division world champion?
Yeah, three-division world champion is absolutely out of control.
I love this sport.
I hate this sport when it comes to
I think I tweeted over the weekend. I had some bangers in between negotiating a fight, which, of course, Davidson. I tweeted that Ryan Garcia – here it is. Rolly having a resume of Pacquiao, Ryan Garcia, and Tank Davis is why America is the best country in the world.
I would like to see Rolly fight Adrian Broner. That'll be the worst four division versus worst three division world champions in the history of boxing. Let's have those two guys fight each other. They make money.
Be careful, man. They're gonna come after you now. Broner's gonna challenge you to a fight.
But bring it, bro. I don't care. Everyone can call me out. I don't give a shit.
That would be great. And then also Haney and Norman are fighting 7 weeks from now.
Love that.
That's a legit title shot right there. Legit title fight. So
Walter good fight, Reed division, too. Good fight. Whether there's a title on the line or not, and it's a deserved world title fight for welterweight, it's a good goddamn fight. That's a really good fight.
I think it's the best fight on the remaining schedule. I think, or maybe like Bam, that card, Bam versus Puma.
I'm going to say it early. Am I crazy to think that I'm leaning Devin Haney in that fight? I think he outboxes him. My initial thought from the top. I know, going from the top. Like, when you first hear about the fight, like, it's very easy to be like, you know, he's on such a run. You know, he looks so good lately. You know, Devin Norman, right. He's looked so good lately. He's such a destructive puncher. You know, Devin hasn't looked great. Ramirez, he just ran. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Everyone stood in front of Norman. That's why they got starched. Haney will not stand in front of him. Haney can. He stood in front of Lomachenko, but Lomachenko's not a puncher. Norman is. Welterweight, does he go out there and box him? How does Norman look when a guy is not right in front of him? I've seen it. I've seen it undercards in Top Rank.
It's an awesome fight. It's a really awesome fight because if Haney, I don't think he's in a fight like he did against Ramirez. I think he's going to figure out a hybrid. He's going to find a hybrid of where he was before that. Pro-Gray fight, Lomachenko performance. He's not going to do that again. If he does, I'm done with him. But if he figures out a way to fight and move, he will give Norman fits because I'm not exactly 100% sure what Norman is. Is he a hard puncher? Yes. Does he have spectacular knockouts? Yes. We just don't know what Barrios is, but that's the welterweight division suddenly is interesting because it was not interesting for about 3 or 4 years, but now with Pacquiao joining it, Rolly, Ryan Garcia potentially, Haney and Norman, we could potentially have a unification battle. Like if the winner of Haney, Norman could potentially see Pacquiao, Rolly winner. Which I can't believe I just said out loud.
What a world. What a world we live in. 2025 is getting crazier by the day. And not only just in politics and everything outside, boxing. Boxing is crazy right now.
Yeah. Between the business and everything. Yeah.
But just these names that are around. Like the fact that we're mentioning Manny Pacquiao and Rolly Romero in the same sentence. Meanwhile, they're going to fight each other. But also, there's a possibility of Devin Haney fighting Manny Pacquiao. There's a possibility. This is
wild timelines.
Yeah.
Jake Paul's fighting Gervonta Davis.
If you told me that Rolly Romero was going to beat Ryan Garcia one day, I'd be like, get the hell out of here. Yeah.
That was one of the bigger upsets of the year. I mean, that was a massive underdog in that fight. I think he was a big time underdog.
Wasn't close either. Yeah. So it was not close.
I don't know where Ryan falls into this mix. Where he wants to get a fight in before the end of the year. I think that boxing would like that, to see what he's got left in the tank. But we can have some interesting fights to Pacquiao in 2026. Over to the middleweight division, another glamour division that has not seen good
fall
days.
Fall to the wayside.
But now we got some juice because Terrence Crawford is probably going to 160. So Janibek is going to be fighting Lara to unify three middleweight titles on the December 6th card that has the main event of Pitbull Cruz and Lamont Roach. Now, the Janibek Adames talks broke down for like the 100th time. In steps Lara, who people forget has a middleweight title, 40-something, 42, 45,
40, 48. Guys, he's older than me, so you know he's old.
Flat-footed, but now can swing. He hits hard. He's got a whole different style now. Janibek in and out. Never seen him fight. Don't know how good he is. Very good on Twitter.
Janibek's good on Twitter?
Oh, whoever's running his account.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mean his Twitter handler is very good on Twitter?
Yeah, his account is good. So
you should get that guy to argue with Shakur.
One thing I can do is I can get after it on
Twitter. You can verbally joust.
I can get it after it on Twitter. In the ring, no. Shakur is going to mop the floor with me. Twitter? Well, actually, he's pretty good at Twitter, too. I mean, that would be an epic. That's a way more even fight. Me and him have like a tweet off.
Mm.
Twitterson.
I'll be the ref for that.
Ready to go. Fire off.
I'll be in the corner for you if you spar. I'll be the neutral ref for you guys Twitter.
I'm pretty sure he fired off like 600 tweets in 24 hours after the De Los Santos fight.
I don't even know what that means. 600 tweets. I haven't tweeted 60 times entire life.
Exactly. I think you can understand how many tweets that he tweeted 600 times, Shakur, in 24 hours after the De Los Santos fight, replying to everyone.
I'm going to blame boxing for this. The man needs to fight more. If he was fighting more, he wouldn't have so much time to tweet. That's my argument. Let's get this guy
or
in the ring.
Or fight me.
I don't want him to fight you. I want to fight guys that actually can fight.
Yeah, fight Teofimo, please. For the love of God, fight Teofimo. Yeah, like,
that's the problem. Nobody wants to fight the guy. We can't make the fights happen.
To the middleweight division. So we got Janibek and Lara fighting for three middleweight titles with Terrence Crawford looming. Terence Crawford could hop right into the mix and go for undisputed in another weight class, which would be absolutely staggering, a fourth weight class for Crawford. And the question for now is, does Bud fight Adamas sometime early next year, or does Bud do what he's done for the last couple of weight classes, is let them all figure it out, fight each other, swoop in last fight next fall?
No wonder we're supposed to fight you on Twitter. You start saying these things, people are going to attack you.
Am I wrong?
No, you're
what did
right.
I say wrong there? This is not a legitimate plan.
Well, like, Dan. Just because you're right doesn't mean that I can't attack you on Twitter. That's what Twitter's all about.
I've got into it with not Crawford specifically, but his team got mad at me last year.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Everyone gets
anyway. Guys, we're setting this up for Crawford to be a four division undisputed champion. Let's be honest here. They tried to make the Adamas Jannebeck fight, which I think is probably the best fight that could be made in the division, barring Crawford's entry. Dude, Lara's 43 years old. I don't give him much of a shot versus either Jannebeck or Adamas, but he's a placeholder because he has a title. He's been fighting the likes of Cornflake, you know, to keep the title or win the title or whatever. You know, love the guy, great kid, but, you know, he's not world class, especially at 160 pounds. So cool. We're getting unifications. We're getting three titles unified in the division. That's great. Not a scintillating fight whatsoever. It's nice to see Jannebeck in action. It's nice to see Lara get one last payday because he's not winning that fight. And it just sucks because Adamas is always left out in the cold because he's a dangerous guy and people don't want to see him fight.
Is he though?
Well, if he gets a Crawford fight, which we've seen them spar, by the way, at Gleason's, this video of that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You go check that out. Hello. And it's very good heated sparring. So my guess is they are setting up Crawford and Adamas so Crawford can pick up a middleweight title. And then once the smoke clears from Jannebeck and Lara, we have a three belt holder that can then fight Crawford. And then we have the opportunity for a four division undisputed champion if Crawford could get past the winner of Lara Jannebeck, which is going to be Jannebeck. Not an easy fight for Crawford. Neither is Adamas. But winnable, both are, yes. And could we see a four division unified champion in Crawford in the next 8 months? Yes. Eight to 12 months.
Awesome plan. So really cool plan. I like it a lot. I like it more than some of the other ones we've thrown out there. I like it more than a Canelo rematch. I like it more than a Bivol.
I don't care for a Canelo rematch at all.
I still don't think that's out of the question, but with this plan, it won't be till a year and 18 months from now. Canelo's getting surgery,
elbow,
too.
Elbow surgery, right? Yeah, so
yeah,
he's
Canelo's
out
for a while.
Left elbow, like too, plan. Right? It's his lead hand. Yeah.
I like this plan a lot for Bud. I hope that he fights again sometime soon. I really hope he doesn't do another fight not until September and stays on his one fight a year. Dude, you're at your peak right now of popularity. It's come at age 38. You got to maximize it. Do a big fight. Fight Adamas at the big stadium in Nebraska. Awesome scenes. You win that fight, and you see what happens with Jannebeck and Lara. You make that. All can be made because he's got Turkey behind him in a very big way. So I like this plan for Bud. I mean, we'll see. He can win all these. He'll be the favorite over everyone. He is the favorite over Jannebeck without a doubt. Adamas versus Bud.
Tough fight, though. Tough fight. Very tough fight.
Absolutely. Very tough fight. Jannebeck. Very tough fight.
Yeah, stylistically, really tough fight. I think Adamas is a really tough fight as well. But I think stylistically, much more I can see a path to victory a lot cleaner against Adamas, even though it's a very tough fight because Adamas is very physical. But Jannebeck is tough, man. He's just stylistically a really difficult guy to deal with. And for him to solve that puzzle of a bigger man that way. And now people go, oh, he's coming down from 68. Yeah, is he really, though? I mean, is he really coming down from 68? He's probably between 54 and 60 at this point. He just had a very slow-footed Canelo. Was able to just control him regardless. I think I don't care what weight class they fought at. I think Crawford beats him. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be really tough for Crawford to do what he does, but it's Crawford. So I'm here to watch it though. I think it's entertaining. I think it's a really good for the sport for him to at least attempt.
And I think that his popularity is at a point where he could carry this because these are not big names. Like Janabek, Lara, no. Adamas, not big names. But it's now Bud Crawford era, which he's been saying for a few years now. He's got the Spence win. He's got the Canelo win. Arguably two of the biggest fights of the last 3 or 4 years. So Bud can carry fights now. He can. And especially in his hometown, that's an I heard some rumblings.
Do they sell?
Where?
Saying you can carry a fight and selling a fight is a different thing. Will they sell?
Like sell how? Like in terms of these could be not on pay per view, so they don't necessarily have to sell. Well, if he fights it in Nebraska, if he fights it at the stadium where the Cornhuskers play,
yeah,
yes, they're selling that out, 100% selling that out. Does it do like 500,000 pay per views? Traditionally, no. Will they put it on Netflix or I don't know if it's even a Netflix worthy. Netflix is like they're into super fights and they're into the Jake Pauls of the world. I don't know if they're into a Bud.
We're in a weird time.
Yeah, I don't think like they go. I don't think Turkey and them go to Netflix and say, "Hey guys, I got a middleweight tournament for you guys."
Right, with guys with names you can't pronounce and don't speak English. Right?
This reminds me of remember was it 2001? HBO did a middleweight tournament with Tito Hopkins.
Oh, but that was dude. That was, you had Keith Holmes. You had William Joppy. You had Tito Trinidad, who was coming up after beating De La Hoya and David Reed and coming up. And he moved from 54, went up to 160. Him and William Joppy. You had Keith Holmes fighting Bernard Hopkins. And then obviously Bernard and Tito met in the final. Those guys were like longtime defending world champions with names and local followings. I mean, William Joppy was a hell of a champion. He beat Roberto Duran on I think it was on HBO, maybe Showtime. Keith Holmes, probably the least known of them, but had his title for a long time. And then Bernard was Bernard. So at the time, he was kind of an obscure, long-standing champion. But those tournaments made those guys, especially Bernard Hopkins, which if you look at any kind of tournament we've ever had, there's always someone who emerges. Josh Taylor back in the 140-pound tournament. Andre Ward in the super middleweight tournament. Tournaments are good because, especially in divisions where they're not well known, it presents a star.
Of course, they're good. Every other sport has them. Like I'm watching the baseball playoffs tournament.
I'm saying something so obvious because boxing is so weird.
I know that tournament back in the middleweight tournament on HBO was a way different time because these were household names and you know Hopkins and Tito.
Yeah.
But this would be good.
I mean, they made a bracket. Tito was. He was the star. I remember he was the star of that tournament. Bernard was fighting obscurity. He was that long stand. He was the Marvin Hagler. He was the guy who was champion forever and would defend his title over and over and over again, fight the same guy twice because the contender would work his way back up but just couldn't get past Bernard, but couldn't get any kind of shine. William Joppy and Keith Holmes were like just super solid champions who kept defending. You know, no one ever knew who they were. They never made any money. And then the money man, Tito, comes in and presents the world to everyone. Blasts William Joppy out.
That was sick. At MSG. Keith,
yes. Crazy how dominant Trinidad was. And then Bernard scrapes by Keith Holmes, you know, beats him, boxes his shoes off like usual. Keith Holmes is a tough guy to deal with. And then everyone expects Trinidad to mow over Bernard like he does everyone else. And Bernard stops him in the 12th round. I mean, epic performance. Amazing.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to market this as a tournament, which would really excite fans and make it a lot easier for casuals to understand when you see a bracket. But because the Janabek Lara fight is going to be on a PBC card, and the Bud fight hasn't even been announced, and we don't know if Bud's going to wait or he's going to fight Adamas. I hope he fights Adamas and doesn't wait. But regardless, action at 160. And who would ever think that Bud Crawford would come in and save a situation? Like that's the point where he's at right now.
It's similar to what we were just talking about. Like if he comes in and you got these obscure names who are actually good fighters, Carlos Adamas is very good. Janabek is very good. Arizona Lara, obviously very good. He strikes me as kind of like at this stage, I mean, he's older. He's like Keith Holmes in that grouping. Like he's good, but no one's going to write home about him. He's probably going to lose to any of these guys, but you could end up having a guy, a Carlos Adamas or a Janabek could beat Crawford. And then you're like, whoa, who's this guy? Now there's a guy. He beat Crawford. Like at the end of the day, he's still got that. I'm not saying he's going to. Or just Crawford does what he does and he wins another undisputed championship. And it's like, it just goes on with, you know, the epic Hall of Fame career of Crawford being the best to ever do it. I think it's good all around for everybody. Everybody makes money. Yeah. It's good.
That's great. It's awesome. I really like it. I hope this plan comes to fruition. Seen these things blow up numerous times. I also like the main event on this card. Pitbull Cruz versus Lamont Roach. It's been rumored about. It looks like it's set now. So Roach will be fighting in his third weight class in as many fights. This guy is awesome. doesn't get the tank rematch. Jumps right back in there with a tough opponent in Isaac Cruz. I think Roach should win this. Not set in stone, though. But I think the way that Roach looked against Tank, all the confidence in the world. And I think Cruz's style plays right into the hands of Lamont Roach.
I don't see how Cruz wins this fight. We watched Cruz's last fight with a last-minute replacement from a guy who was fighting on Pro Box. And he's not impressive. I literally was in the chat for PPV.com. So guys, if you're ever tuning in for our PPV fights, we have a live chat where we're talking during the fights. So people can ask you questions. I was just like, I felt bad because I was being kind of not, I was being observant of what I saw from Isaac Cruz. He's just not that good, like, especially at 140. Like, he just does not fit in that weight class.
Great television fighter.
Great television fighter at 135. He's not at 40. Because at 40, the guys can take the punches. He just wings big shots from too far away because he's very short for the weight class. A guy with any kind of stature or length or reach at 140 keeps him at bay. So when you talk about Lamont Roach, his third weight class, like, is it really though? Because Cruz is small for 35. Lamont's coming up ultimately from 130. He fought at 35 against Gervonta Davis, who's also coming up basically a 30 pounder. So I think it's really smart on Team Roach in terms of who they've been able to fight. At 35, they fought Gervonta, who's really a 30-pounder, and now they're fighting Isaac Cruz at 40, who's really a 30-pounder, and is far less dangerous than Gervonta Davis. I think this is an easy, easy fight for Lamont Roach. This is his fight to lose.
Yeah, and I think it's great matchmaking, and it's a winnable fight. Pitbull is a very popular fighter. They're putting it in Texas, which has a lot of Mexican fans. Brilliant there. And it just gets Roach back into the limelight. You know, if the second best thing other than a tank rematch was a fight like this that he can win versus a name, he's the main event. And then we'll see where he stays. Like, do you think he'll stay at 140 or he'll go back down to 135, Roach?
From my dealings with him and his team, they're going to look for the biggest money fights possible. So wherever that may be, if it's at 40 or 35, at this point, he's a tweener? 30 pound champion. Hasn't lost his title at 130.
He's going to have to give that up soon, right?
Yes, absolutely. He's two weight classes away at this point. you got to give up that title.
The WBA.
You're not going back down to 30. So he's going to have an interim. This is an interim title, right?
This fight?
So he's got world champion at 130, interim title at 140, people's champion at 135, because most people think he beat Gervonta.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. So, he's got a lot of street cred. He's got a lot of credit anyway, but also in terms of what he's done in his career. Listen, he's a world champion, guys. When you're a world champion, you're already in the room. He's already in the room. He won a world title. He had a big major fight.
He got everyone's respect for that Gervonta win. I don't care.
100%.
I see him getting like shade online, like that he took a victory lap for a draw. Dude, he won the fight, number one. Yes. Dude, he beat the baddest man in boxing, and he handled him. Like, I would be walking like with my chair. I'd be peacocking into every room.
And he has.
But he has and he hasn't. Like, he's still a very humble guy. He's doing content. I think he's great. I think he's awesome. He does Twitch streams. He does puts a lot of content on YouTube. I was super impressed with him in the lead up to that week in terms of media. Yep. I did my interviews with him. He was excellent. All of his videos popped like the crazy numbers for us. And then he was asking me questions about content. Like, he told me he's going to start his YouTube page after this fight. Very smart when it comes to out of the ring stuff for him. So he's a guy that I'm rooting for. But 140, you know, Matias, Puelo, Russell, Tio, Shakur. Great with division. 135, loaded as well. Like, Shakur goes back down to 135, or some of the names that are there, Raymond Murataya, Andy Cruz, have been ordered to fight by the IBF. There's some talk that Murataya might give up his belt not to fight Andy Cruz. So I think Roach is in a really good spot, and I'm happy to see him get a main event, and I'm pretty sure we should be at that fight. It's a PBC pay-per-view, so we'll be there for PPV.com. December 6th in San Antonio. Never been to San Antonio.
You've never been to San Antonio?
It's never did the Riverwalk.
Dude, it's one of my favorite cities in the country, literally. I love it. So, hey, listen, all you San Antonians, I love your city. I love it.
So Charles Barkley was wrong.
Wrong.
Well, he could be right. The city could be nice.
Actually, from what I've heard, from what he said, I'm sorry, my San Antonians. He's not wrong. But listen, it's a great city. The Riverwalk, the Alamo, the food is great. We got a good steakhouse we're going to go to, Dan. We're going to do a steak review there.
I'm happy to go to another city that I had never been to. And no offense to Vegas, just happy to go somewhere other than Vegas. I love Vegas.
I don't need Vegas anymore in my life. But San Antonio Vegas, rules. Texans are awesome.
Oh, yeah. Like that's. I just want to see fights going back to other states. Like, I know Jake versus Tank is whatever you want to call it. But it's in Miami. Something different. I was in Montreal last weekend. Freaking awesome. San Antonio, awesome. Cool. I know we have our Vegases. That's home base. We're always going to be brought back home every couple of months. But spread it out. Spread the wealth. All right, everyone. That's our episode. Shakur, thank you for inspiring me to get into
this. This is
going to
be your face, Dan. This is going to be your face. This is where you're going to say, bang, 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 bang.
Not going to hurt me.
Bar headgear.
Bar headgear. Not gonna do shit.
Well, no, that's funny. I got a bar headgear. So I'm gonna do shit. Okay.
John Matos, our producer, who has stepped into a cage. Pretty sure he's done some kickboxing. We're having breakfast Friday morning, the night after Shakur decided to challenge me, and he's just sitting there, and he just looks at me, and goes, "Dan," he goes, "have you like prepared for the idea of getting knocked out?" I was like, whoa. I didn't think of that. I mean, like, knocked out. I said, no, I haven't. I really have never thought about that in my life. But
you never been knocked out? Like, you never knocked out, like, playing, like, football with your friends or, like...
I got a concussion early on, like, from baseball. I got hit in the head with a ball.
Okay. I feel like a lot of people have been KO'd in their lives.
Not on the chin. I got hit in the ear hole.
No, it doesn't matter where you get hit. You get hit in the top.
Dude, I got hit. Whatever. This kid threw a ball. I cleated someone on third. I went cleats up third, which you shouldn't do in baseball. Next bat, hit in the ear hole with a fastball.
That'll do it.
I charged the mound with a bat. Got suspended.
Oh, so you got a little anger. You got a little anger issues, huh?
This was my Long Island baseball days. All my dirtbag Long Island teammates followed onto the field, and we started a brawl. It was awesome.
Do people know that Long Island's full of dirtbags? I feel like they don't.
Shakur, no?
Definitely.
I know he's from Newark.
Yeah, it's not that far.
He probably knows about it. He's probably beat some Long Islanders' asses in his day, in the amateur time.
Oh, for sure. No, there was not any amateur fighters that were high level coming from Long Island until recently. But yeah, no, we there was no boxing on Long Island.
What if I said to Shakur, no, I'm not going to spar you, but Mikey Algieri will?
No. No, well, he actually would.
Yeah, but that would be like respectful. But he's like, oh shit, yeah, what's up, bro?
He's not going to do it on your behalf. He's going to do it for the world class work.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I get that. Not for content. He's doing it to further his career. I'm actually doing it to further my career too. All right, everyone. We'll see. Stay tuned. Shakur, I'm not exactly out. I'm not exactly in. Just like Teofimo. I don't know yet. This fight may happen. This fight may not happen. I'm sure you're used to that.
I'm sure you're used to that.
Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs.
I mean, or if not. I'm in the corner.